something that we in this bill can't say up front. But that at the same time is also the beauty of this bill, because though we are dealing with 4G spectrum now, it won't be long before we have to deal with 5G spectrum. And the bill will again ensure that the Minister in Nicasa determine what constitutes high demand spectrum then, what must go to the WAN in terms of 5G, and what should go to the industry. And Chair, that answers why we need the provisions in the bill even beyond the current policy direction process. Thank you, Chair.
I guess at this point I'm going to go back to Madame Irene.
I will answer, I'll address the question.
Yeah, no, just give the answer. We will,
All right.
The answer is to the committee.
Yeah, thank you. Through you.
In fact, where,
okay, maybe
you can start with the others,
and
then work it backwards, and then if he does come, let's accommodate him. It is only fair.
Okay. So the first answer will be to the first madame. It will be madame number one, number two, number three. Madame. So madame number one is that whether we own the network in just the ownership of the network in the country. So for example, so the way we structure, we have a small holding, so it's one company that owns all the assets within in Nigeria, DRC, Tanzania, and Uganda, and then the same shareholders own South Africa. And we had to structure it like that because from a Reserve Bank point of view, when we had to apply, we had to structure the company. So South Africa, there are no operations. We have obviously an ECNA license, but we're employing in South Africa. We used to employ about 40 professionals. We have about 24 people that we employ. We have an office, pay them, and they deliver a service for all of the African countries. So we do the testing of the technology. There's technical services that we provide from South Africa into other parts of the Africa, and that is from the South African base. And then each of the operations, three of them are commercially operational, and they employ, in total direct employment, we employ about just on 1,000 people within those three operations. And then those are excluding distributors, the indirect, so I'm just talking the direct employment of professionals. So that's how we've done that. Then what type of infrastructure do we then have? So within the countries, we have used 800 spectrum in one country, in the others we've used 800 and 2.6 to put up the infrastructure. So we've rolled out the commercial network, and the focus of the network, so it's fourth generation, we sell gigabytes. So people buy gigabytes and they use it. So this is it's the only place at the time we're the first to, so we put a base station. So we use, like we say, we leverage passive infrastructure from third parties. So we don't own the passive infrastructure. The passive infrastructure is owned by a third party, it's either an operator or an independent tower operators. And by the way, some of these tower operators have already indicated that they are very interested to do the same in South Africa, as an example. So we also speak into some of them in terms of the WAN. So we use the passive infrastructure, and then our equipment, which is our base stations. The base stations are the technical equipment that you put on the passive infrastructure, and that's where the signal comes from to deliver the service. So so our equipment then are used, so we lease the towers at a particular price. We'll maybe be the third or the fourth operator on those towers, but it's our own equipment and our own data centers. And that's how we plan and structure the network to deliver a very, very good fourth generation service. And when I say fourth generation, it means that the ability, so therefore people to use their laptops, their TVs, their phones to download or stream any video, movie, content, real time, without buffering, they can deliver. They get that through those services. That's real 4G services. So that is the one place where where it doesn't say, no, this is not allowed. You can actually download. So this is what we do, just to clarify in terms of the service. So from a technology point of view, we were the first to roll out in West and in East Africa using this, the type of spectrum. We were the first to launch even voice over LTE, so that means it's data. So it's like WhatsApp today, you know, but very high quality voice. We innovated that as well. And these are all South African innovations that are being used across the world. So, I mean, across the four, I wish it's the world, but across the countries. We are still very small. We have invested quite a bit, so there's investment from the shareholders. So the shareholders are also people from, it's a families from Saudi Arabia as well, because we can't get money from anywhere else. So they were believed in our vision to uplift our continent and to bring the best broadband infrastructure, because we know, we saw the concept and we know. For every 10% broadband penetration in a developing country, and South Africa's a developing country, it contributes 1.38% to the GDP of the country. And that is a World Bank statistic. So we have investors from Saudi, and so we have invested, myself personally, whatever money I had is invested in this business as well. So we put our money where our mouth is, and then the debt we raise from the Development Financing Institution, and is on the basis of normal corporate governance, corporate finance principles, where there's X percentage equity, and then you have long-term debt over a period of, and that is both ECA and non-ECA funding. Okay, so that's really that. I'm just trying to am I answering your question? More than what you've expected. then what are the, I'm just trying to see, the, from a capacity point of view. So what you ask, what will the WAN be selling? So what do we sell? At the end of the day, it's capacity. When we say capacity, we sell data. So we sell gigs, capacity. So when you have an infrastructure, it's like the operator, when you have an infrastructure, anybody, whether in any province or any region, anyone to sell to the community or to the region or national, you will come and buy X capacity at X price, and you go and do your own business model, your own service, customer service, etc. So it's actually capacity. Because the one, what will they do? So in the same way, they will leverage, they will use the current infrastructure, passive infrastructure. So we have the international, which is the undersea cable. They will get the best pricing from there. They will connect the best from a fiber, and I think there's an opportunity to use one of the big operators, including OpenServe, for example, to work with them, plus the current towers in the country. When you plan the network, let's assume there are 30,000 base stations, and we, as a one, we only need to put our equipment on 10,000. We'll take our equipment, have an agreement at a regulated price to use that passive infrastructure, put our equipment, plan a very efficient network to deliver the most cost-effective gigabytes that we will sell in bulk to third-party service provider. I hope that's clear. Infrastructure, we put up the infrastructure using the current passive infrastructure in the country, which are the towers, that we can do at cost plus. It's planned properly. It's linked to the fiber, which is both metropolitan, the national fiber, linked back to the undersea cables. Our equipment and our data centers we built and put it on there to deliver a cost-effective gigabyte, which any third-party service provider will come and buy in bulk from the WAN. That's how the WAN will be. I hope that is clear. Okay? So that is how the WAN will work exactly, capacity. And we know how to do it. And there are other experts in the industry, including the some people who've done towers across, have already indicated that they want to work with a consortium. We'll put the consortium together that will include Mr. Africa, young people, youth, it will include disabled, women, business people, from a bit, and then key people who will manage this particular. And that's the consortium that will bid for the one and make sure we manage it in a way that we can be the most cost effective in this country. So I know what it costs us to deliver a gigabyte today, our company. And I always say the one should be able to deliver that gig at cost, at a very, very good price. Okay, so that's the issue. Then on the finance, I think, so we're clear on that. So Mr. McKinsey, if I can go back, I think, is there any other that I've left out, madam? No, that's fine. So Mr. McKinsey, I've answered on the ownership. I think you've got this. You are right. Telecoms are very unique. Telecoms is the one. It's a one sector. We've had empowerment in a way, but empowerment that wasn't spearheaded necessarily by the authorities. We pushed for that. We wanted to make sure that there's clear empowerment. So you are right. At MTN, the first empowerment deal that was done where there was an opportunity, so purely as entrepreneurs, so the key executives, majority black, decided that there's an opportunity to buy a stake to raise the money. There was 18% equity available in MTN Group. They went, raised debt. They raised the debt. They bought 18% from that. And after 5 years, 3,200 people benefited from that in terms of financially. Because the money had to be repaid to the people who provided it. And just for your information and for the record, actually, the people who provided the debt, which, by the way, was the PIC, they took 65%. Of the upside, 65% of the upside, and the other 35% went to the 3,200 people. When the share was purchased, it was purchased at 9 rand. When the deal was done, the MTN share price was 8 rand 30 something. The share price was bought. The deal was done at 9 rand 34, and after 5 years, it was 90 rand. Because the team there, black people again, majority, bought that company together to that price when the deal closed. So you asked about once empowered, always empowered. Honestly, there's nothing like that. As far as I'm concerned, black people must own this economy. They don't have a stake in this economy. It is not going to be possible for us to continue the way we have unless there's a meaningful stake in our economy. When you create value, then you do another stuff scheme with other groups of people who will add the value so that you are empowered. Because otherwise, there are many tricks in the books. I'm part of corporates, no corporate structure, lots of tricks in the book of once empowered, always empowered. That is why we say that sometimes I can be rented, not me, but we can be rented. We are there, but we never see the money. We'll be there named, but we'll never see real money in terms of growth. Economic growth is really benefiting from the stuff that comes from the country. Spectrum is a national asset in the same way that whatever comes to the ground of this country is also a national asset. And it must be shared by the people. I'm going through the question, Mr. Chairman. Then on the issue of the auction, there are people who are interested on auction. I just mentioned the two. And let me give you an... I believe with an auction, with a combination of group, where there's a package spectrum together, our fiscus can make a lot of money out of that. So yes, Telkom can make money, but I don't think that they can... If I'm in the fiscus, I'll say, you know what, I want to make 8 to 10 billion rand out of that auction. So I'll put these spectrum together into one block, I'll auction it. If the locals can't buy it, some international person will come and buy it, yes. The rules are clear, it's auction, fiscus are happy, the two-thirds go into the one. There are people who will do that. So Telkom, if Telkom has that kind of money, I'm sure they can raise it, but I think there are other people who have more than them. And the other people, I mean the duopoly. This is my view, and I'm happy to debate it with anybody that is available to do that. Then the competition at infrastructure level. We need competition at service level. There's enough infrastructure. You know, today, the countries, the Nigeria is a bigger country than South Africa, 180 million people. 180 million people, there's about 32, what we call 32 equivalent, like we say, provinces. They also have equivalent number of passive infrastructure and BTSs in the country. Most of their towers, their passive infrastructure, are owned by third parties. It's like property. You have a property, you know, it's like the passive infrastructure is like you own a property and then you lease it out to the best people. So I think in order to bring data prices down within our country, we need competition at a service level, not an infrastructure level. And we will prove that if there's competition at the service level, our prices will come down. At the moment, it's not going to come down. I think there are lots of people who've come here to say, if we have the spectrum, the price will come down. Why didn't it go down with 3G? We've got 3G. We didn't pay for the spectrum in the same way that other operators internationally have paid for the spectrum. And yet it is still expensive, the data. So I think it will be a positive step ahead if we can do competition at the service level because it will give more people, more entrepreneurs, an opportunity to participate in our economy and make money out of that. Okay. So from a timing, in terms of the set-aside, I think there is a commitment. My understanding is government has committed that by April 2019, spectrum will be made available. That's my understanding. I know it's publicly that they've made available that by April next year, the spectrum will be made available. I don't know. I know that that is a public statement that has been made. If you have the one-third, if there's a policy directive or it's clear that it's one-third, that can be implemented very quickly. Auction the one, if there's a clear directive to this, that can also start at the same time. If both can start, I think the ICASA people are here, I'm sure they can do it very quickly. If the directive is clear, this is what they have to do it. And if they're not able to do it, I'm sure, but I'm sure they can do it. The ladies are here, maybe the ladies will be better implementing it than the guys, but I don't know, but... Sorry, Mr. Chair. No offense, but I'm just saying maybe they'll be faster this time to implement. But I think that it should be implemented. If the policy is clear and the directive is clear, I think it can be implemented. It should be implemented by the middle of next year, by April. So, Madame number two. Our company is very small. We are challenger. We are not a big entity. We are not operational here. I think we should complement the operators, because the current operators they've made a big impact on the whole continent. For some of our companies that are here have gone to other parts of Africa. Others have gone into the Africa and the Middle East. From the first time we had telephony on the continent, the prices have overall come down. And it has given the power, the economic power, in the hands of individuals by putting those handsets in their hands. So we must complement them. They've done very well. They've gone across the continent. We must never take that away. They've done and they are important for our economy and the economy of Africa. Very, very important. But it doesn't mean that, but we're saying, while saying that, we are at the stage now where South Africa has to make a decision. What is the future for the next 20 years? Whatever decision we make now in terms of the spectrum, that where should the ownership lie? What needs to be done? What do we need to do to facilitate and accommodate that? I agree with you. Whatever government can do to accommodate that and facilitate that, this is the opportunity to do that. You can do that, because if we don't do it right now, we will lose the opportunity and will take us another back 20 years. That's why I'm saying, otherwise I'll be out of the industry and, you know, I don't know, the young people will come, I don't know, maybe when they are old. But this is the one opportunity that we have to make it right, to create an entity that will provide competition in this market with a product that is very good, with a good gigabyte product. Because that's all that spectrum is going to deliver for us, preparing us for fourth generation, fifth generation, and for the future. It sets us apart on all of those. And I agree with you, I don't know if Lentius, do you want to throw those explicit things on the issue of what can be changed. In the bill where we say that we, from a transformation point of view, there has to be maybe something more specific in terms of what we're saying from a transformation point of view. The percentages, I don't know what section. Did you manage to look at this? Okay. My learned friend says, colleague says, we've only looked at the broad principle, not the specifics. But I'm sure we can give further input, Mr. Chairman, if that is required, on the specific, on how we can do that. I've answered the number of people that's employed, and just on the TPTS input, the technology neutrality is key. Remember, is technology neutral, you can use any technology for anything, whether it's 4G, 5G. When people talk about 5G spectrum, remember the spectrum that's below 1 gigahertz, that's sub 1 gigahertz. And that spectrum, to be honest, is 450 for now, 600, 700, 800. All of that is sub 1 gig. They serve a similar purpose, except for the 450, but 600, 700, 800 serve a similar purpose. Then is the one above that, which is 2.3, 2.6, 2.8, 3.5, whatever you get, that gives you the capacity. So whether it's 4G, 5G, if you have a combination of that, it prepares you for the future. And even when you wait for the World Radio Conference, you will confirm what I'm saying, in any event, that's what is going to happen. So that's more or less my input, Mr. Chairman. I hope I've addressed most of the questions.
Thank you, Chairperson. Ms. Chani, you say that South Africa doesn't need any more infrastructure, that there's enough. Do you believe that that infrastructure that's here, both mobile and fixed, is enough to make a sort of future-proof from technological evolution for the next 20 years? Can we do a fourth industrial revolution, if you want to call it that, or whatever comes after the fourth industrial revolution? Do you believe that we don't need any more investment in infrastructure?
No. Investment will be needed. I think it would be very short-sighted to think that we don't need. We need investment, definitely, for the future. Definitely. To invest in the future in terms of technology, in what we can deliver to our people, including the people in this room. We need that technology. So today when we talk infrastructure, we must separate passive infrastructure. Remember, we have this building. This building is a passive infrastructure. But the services that gets delivered, this building can have 100 different organizations paying for space in this building. So when we talk about infrastructure, we're talking something that are passive, is not active. The active infrastructure we're talking about is the base station that delivers that signal. Remember I said no service, no signal, no service. And that comes from the spectrum. Okay? So no base station, no signal, no service. But that's not passive, that is active infrastructure. So we need to, in order to move forward to the future, utilizing the spectrum, you're going to need active infrastructure for that. It is the passive infrastructure we're saying we've got lots. There are lots of towers. I mean, if you have 30,000 towers, you might need an extra 5,000, 6,000, I don't know. But where there's, you know, where maybe some are full, you need maybe another passive infrastructure. But nowadays with technology, I can put something on the roof of this building to give the same effect than to go and build another passive tower. So I just want us to separate the issue of passive and active infrastructure so that when I say that we have enough passive infrastructure in this country that we can utilize to put our active infrastructure on those to deliver the now and the future type of technology, and where you require passive infrastructure, you install it, but it's not going to be to the same extent that we have today. This is okay. Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Madam. As you have indicated, we will appreciate if you have any supplementary and or specific craft that you are proposing in order to clarify certain things. I think that's where we should end our engagement with you, and once more thank you for speaking for... You are correct that we did not have any presentation by any female. So you're the first, except... the smaller inputs that came from, but really speaking for the sector, I think you've presented that sector very well. And I'm hoping that, because we've been saying this to everyone who participated, that we'll appreciate the engagement with the department and as players that have been there since the dawn of from the time of no demand to the time of high demand, you have been there, so you have been around and you know everyone that has been around. I guess you are in a better, very good position to further engage and make sure that this thing that we would like to achieve, this transformation of the industry that we so much are looking forward to does actually happen, either through cohesion or through legislation. And I can't agree more that it is important in whatever we're doing that we ensure that the future generations can look back and say, at least when they had an opportunity to advance our interest, they did not let us down. Because we are entering into an era of the future. And that era of the future cannot overtake us. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, as well, yourself, who chairs the portfolio committee, you play a very important role. I think, thank you for the opportunity, number one. We really appreciate it and value it. We appreciate the questioning as well. I think it, you know, to also challenge us in our own thinking. I think the role that this committee plays, I'm now just talking as a South African, a normal South African, I think you play an important role in our society, because the policy, whatever policy is set and directed by yourself, to make sure, to ensure that there's implementation of those, whatever gets implemented, you are the ones who are the drivers of those. You are the ones who can expedite it or slow it down. And you are the only ones who will make sure that if there's change in our country, it come about because of the work that we do. And we do value what you do and the active interest and participation to make sure the right things are done. I just want to thank you, plus the members of the Portfolio Committee. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Madam. We have the last presenter. We'll take a break of 3 minutes and allow them to come and connect.
And they take the remaining time. You want to keep us here until 12 o'clock?